I'm not here this time of year or working, doing my usual kinds of things, you will find me, or hopefully you won't find me, in my kayak. Somewhere off in the Gatineau's or on the Ottawa River or pretty much anywhere but downtown Ottawa, because that is one of my passions and one of the ways in which I refresh myself. And as I've told many of you before, I'm actually quite afraid of water. But it's different being in a kayak, because you're kind on the water, not just in the water. And you're of the lake, but you're not really in the lake. And you have options. You can roll over and be in the lake, or you can stay on the lake. It's really up to you. And it's a wonderful way to just be out and enjoy nature. The thing I love most, I think, or one of the things I love most about being in my kayak on the water, is the interplay between the light and the sky and the water. Watching how the changing light affects the changing water and how it's reflected back again into the sky and the light that comes from there. The reflections on a beautiful day are astonishing. Yesterday, I was on the Ottawa River, and the clouds, or a few clouds, and the water was absolutely calm. And I took a couple of pictures that the reflection, you cannot tell which is the sky and which is the water. Beautiful, perfect reflection. Could see everything you could see here and everything there. There are other days, of course, when it's cloudy, and so it's a different mood. It's not necessarily joyful, it's more subdued and you've got to grab into yourself and reflect a little differently. And sometimes it can be gray on those days. And that changes the whole mood and the water and the sense of what you're doing. Other days, it starts to rain, and that's a whole other thing. Because it's not that the light isn't reflected, it's that the light is still reflected in the sky and the water, and the raindrops add another whole atmosphere to what is reflected back into the sky. And other times there are fog. Not very often, not enough to justify the compass I bought for my kayak, but it looks really nice on the front of it. But some days there are fog, and you can't see where you're going, and no sense of direction. And you must rely on not the sky and not the water, but something either within yourself, a sense of direction, or a guide to help you. This morning in Acts, we hear the story of the disciples being in such a fog. They think it's clear blue sky and sunny, and they see what they've been doing reflected in Jesus. Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Right now. The brightness we've seen in you, will that be reflected in this moment where we are? And Jesus says, can't tell you. It's not for you to know. You have no idea. But you will receive power when the Spirit comes. And just as he'd said that, when they were watching, a cloud came along and lifted him up out of their sight. And they were definitely in a fog. And probably in a funk. Because we know by the reading from Acts that they just stood around. They didn't know what to do. That bright reflection that had been before them was gone. And they didn't know which way was up or which way was down. Their compass had left them. And you can just imagine the two men who appear and say to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking toward heaven? What are you doing? Jesus isn't here." And so they left and went home. We, you see, the disciples, are meant to be a reflection of the light. They were called to be a reflection of the light of God that they had known and met in Jesus. And there they were, with a pall over that, not knowing what to do in those moments. And yet they were still called out of it to go and be and do in the world. There are two things that says that they did to keep them going in that time. They stayed together and they prayed. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? hang out together, support one another, encourage one another, and pray. Have you ever tried to do that nonstop? Either of those things? Living in community with others? It's a tough job. We gather once or twice a week. This community only gathers once a week like this. And we sometimes have a hard time hanging out together, staying together on the same track. Imagine what it was like for them. People who had lived and worked and breathed the same air, and now they're supposed to stay together without the light. And to pray. Praying does not, of course, mean what we all think of when we're children, which is just to kneel down and put your hands like this and to say a few prayers before bedtime and carry on. Prayer is a way of life. When I'm on my kayak, I think that is the most prayerful time I have of all the time that I spend. Because I'm right there, open to whatever is happening, letting go of all the things that burden me. And so praying is something we have to work at. We have to actually stop long enough to let the prayer come and to let God speak to us. And that's what they were supposed to be doing, staying together and praying. So how do we do that? Well, it's kind of interesting that on this day of the year, I realize it's one of the days that we pray most in our community. If you were here at 9 a.m., you'll know what I'm talking about. Thousands of people ran down the street this morning, and we rang the church bell as the different groups of runners from the half marathon passed. The first year we did it, just kind of like, well, isn't that a fun idea? Now we have it figured out. We start ringing when the horn goes. We finish when the last person in that group goes by the church. The first group, we were noticing this year, now that we're professional bell ringers, professional bell prayers on race weekend, the first group are very intense. They are the leaders. They want to finish in a certain time, and they rarely look up. The second group are a little more relaxed, and you get a few nods and a few little waves. By the time you get to the third and the fourth group, they're all like going, "Hello! Thank you! Thank you!" One woman went like this. So I blessed her. They're all praying. By the last group, they're praying they're going to finish the darn race. And we are praying with them. That's what we're doing when we're ringing that bell that occurred to me today. We're holding them up. And we're with them together. We're staying together. Because we're not just people who drive in from other parts of the city to be here. We're part of this community. We are of it, and we're in it, and we need to be praying with and in and of the people who are around us when we are together. I also noticed something this morning, and that was the eye contact. When thousands of people are running by, you think you would just kind of see a big blur. But the number of people, and those of us standing on the steps noticed it, that looked us in the eye and waved. And if they couldn't, because they were too intent, they just looked and kind of, you had that contact, eye contact. That's being with someone and connecting. That's connecting even if it's for a fleeting moment. And so to do something like that is to reflect God's grace, to be a pure reflection, because we weren't trying. It's not hard to stand on the steps and ring a bell and have some fun and clap your hands. It's not hard at all. It's actually so easy. So easy that we hadn't thought to do it before. It's like the kayaking. When it's sunny and beautiful and so easy, we are, God's full light is reflected through us. Full light shines through us. And sometimes when it's cloudy in our own lives or in the lives of our community and it's kind of hard to see the sun, well, sometimes it's a little harder to let that light shine. When it's foggy or rainy and there are tears falling, it's almost impossible, it seems to us, to be that reflection of God. And yet, even in those times, God can shine through us if we are open. If we are open to the interplay between what happens, not just in the sky, but in God's life, and in ours. As I often tell you, we have visitors at 8 a.m., which always astonishes me that we have visitors at 8 a.m. service. And this morning a woman came and I said, "Are you visiting?" And she said, "No, I live 5 houses away. And she said, "I pray. I go to a meditation group in the community, and on my list has always been to come to this church. But I've never done it." And she said, "This morning she's a problem with her foot." So she said, "I was sort of sitting in my house and having a cup of tea, thinking about what I would do for the day. And for once, we rang the bell at 8 a.m. because it was race weekend. So we thought we would ring the bell at 8. The only Sunday we want to wake the neighborhood." And she said, "I'm sitting there in my place, and I hear the bell, the church bell, ringing. And I think, I have absolutely no excuse not to go to church." And so she came and joined us at 8. And I said, "Well, should you come back again? Just so you know, there's another service later." And she said, "Oh, I'll come back." She said, "I just had to get here." That was easy for us. So thank you, Glenn, for making sure we have a bell. Thank you to those who ring it at hockey games, today, whenever it is. And just let us remember that ringing the bell is like saying to the community, "We're here with you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing." And that is the way our own lives must be too. We must be open to those opportunities when God can speak through us in the simple, easy, wonderful ways. And when it's cloudy and when it's raining and when we don't know how to do that, remember the words in 1 Peter. "Christ himself will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you." Those are strong words. And those are words that we can hang on to when we're the interplay between God and the world around us. Amen.